Hi, I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
And this is Pink Kink, the podcast where we talk about the pretty,
twisted side of kink. Today's episode is produced by our electrifying pink kinksters, the ESW, Jay, Tempest, Brianna Lynn, Daddy J, Fabe, Embers, William P, Lady, Claire, Savage Heart, Mr. N and Mrs. Jess, Mistress Good Girl, Lady Blooding, Gardner, Daddy Longlegs, Cassie, Primal Empress, K's Clockwork, Baby Girl, Harley Gentleman, and Mistress Francesca. Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com. Guys, I am so pumped, so excited to share with you that on Sunday, October 10th, I know it's only a couple days away, but it's cool. I will be attending this year's Fet Ball in DC and demoing electro play. Along with my daddy, Jay, Bobby is going to be there assisting me, and the gorgeous Tempest, our consummate demo bottom, will be demoing away all night long. Well, maybe not all night long, but it's going to be awesome. I really would love to invite everybody to attend, have some fun, try all the demos, and just party. It's going to be amazing. FetBall offers some of the scene's very best DJs, a fashion show, and national talent with incredible play space, and it's in a really awesome venue. The Metro Underground has been presenting this event for over a decade, and this year they're carrying the tradition of lavish events into the post-COVID world. The theme this year is reemergence, and they're working hard to keep this year's event as safe as possible. Reemergence is a fully vaxxed event, and proof of vaccination is going to be required. In addition to me and my electro demo station, Reemergence is also featuring other demo stations for Shibari, Medical Play, Wax, and so much more. I think there's going to be knife and sword play too. There might even be a Sibian. You can even see DC Ed Ninja, our guest on our Fire Play episode, who will be there demoing what else? Fire. Reemergence is featuring a fashion show, pole dancing, lots of performances. It's going to be incredible. You do not want to miss this event. Tickets are $50 and doors open at 9 p.m. For tickets, talent, links, and more, check out dcfetishball.com. That's dcfetishball.com. Sometimes people keep wondering what we're like in real life.
You know, I be careful with that.
Like, are these personalities that we show on the podcast our real personalities?
No, whatever you see here, I'm more in person.
Basically, she's holding back, yeah. But I just want to share a really quick story with you guys because I thought this was really funny. We batch record these episodes. We do several in one sitting so that I have enough time to edit everything and get them out to you and all that. So Ra-Ra thought that it would be super funny. Like, I just went through this whole episode talking with her about Impact and yada, yada, yada. That was last week's episode.
We're in the future now.
We are in the future, but actually we're in the past?
Exactly.
Okay, DeLorean music plays again. And anyway, so I spent that whole episode like thinking that I left my coffee somewhere and I was desperate and I was like, shit, where's my coffee? She finds it. I'm like, oh my God, coffee. I take a sip and she chooses that precise moment.
I said something. I didn't think it was that hysterically funny.
She made me choke on my coffee and spit it
backwash
back into the cup.
And mind you, she had to go to the bathroom. She was standing up to go to the bathroom. I hope she didn't pee in her pants a little bit. A
little bit.
Okay. Sorry, not sorry.
So what I'm trying to say is, ladies and gentlemen, find you a rah-rah.
I'm unique. I don't know if you can find another one of me. I don't know that the world could handle
another one of me. All right, let me rephrase. Find you someone who makes you laugh like rah-rah makes me spit out my coffee.
Exactly.
Because this entire episode is about dating while kinky.
Yay!
Not that rah-rah and I are dating, but...
Each other, no.
No, not each other. I'm not...
Well, just in case anybody's confused, maybe this is their first episode, they don't know.
It was just basically a little story on the relationship
between
us.
I mean, we've had sex, but we're not dating. Let's just confuse them even more.
Friends with benefits?
Yes, I guess that would be.
I've had sex with a lot of people that I wasn't dating.
Well, I wasn't going to call you a slut, but...
Hey!
If the dildo fits.
Several of them do, actually. As do other numerous... anyway... Yeah, so you just took my story and made it really dirty.
Thank you.
It was so cute.
I'm here weekly.
It was adorable, and you had to go and fuck it up.
Yep.
Just like you do with my octopus.
Yep. That's what I do, folks.
All right, so we wanted to talk about kinky dating. We've both done it. I guess I would say I did it in the past.
She's had better luck than I've had, to say the least.
Oh, I had phenomenal luck. Like, nailed it. Luck.
Nailed it.
Several times.
Sorry.
All right, so.
Sorry, I'm taking you down a path you were not expecting
to
go.
Wait, let me drink some more of this delicious backwash coffee.
I'll try not to say anything I shouldn't say.
Oh, God, yeah, don't say anything while I've got this cup in my mouth. Please
but
don't.
Probably the one question that I see more than just about any other question is, where can I find a kinky partner?
That's
a doozy.
That's a hell of a question. It's like, I don't even know how to answer that, honestly. I mean, we do, and I have had luck with it.
I have
quite
not.
Quite a bit.
I have not.
Right, but it's... It's a difficult question to answer because it's different. It's really different than finding a vanilla partner.
Yeah, I mean, it is like finding a vanilla partner in the sense that you want to vet them. You want to make sure your wants and needs
match up. You need to be compatible.
You need to be compatible. There should be some sexual tension happening between the two of you.
Can I just say that is way more important than people think?
Somebody who was in a sexless marriage? Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, same goes. Also had been in a sexless marriage. And let me tell you, that got on my nerves. Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's harder than finding a vanilla partner because you have already eliminated a large group of people, the vanillas, and you are now looking in a much more niche market. You've narrowed your choices.
Big time.
It's a little harder.
Well, not only that, you have to make sure your kinks line up. So it's even
more
narrow.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay, are you as a masochist, are you going to date somebody who's only also a masochist?
Yes, if they allow me to scene and play with other people.
And if they don't?
Then it will not work, no.
Okay.
Listen, I need somebody. My current partner is not... in the BDSM lifestyle. He is a swinger.
But he's poly-ish.
Right. But he also understands and accepts that there will be time that he sees my naked body and it is covered in bruises and scabs. And if he was not okay with that, then no, we would not be compatible.
And that's what I'm saying. You need to find somebody who's compatible with your kinks. You need somebody who's okay with you being poly.
And poly both romantically... That's a word, right? Romantic. It sounded
weird.
Yeah,
that's a word. That's a legit word.
It sounded weird. Romantically and kinkily.
Okay, that's where you fell off the deep end of the pool. Kinkily is not a word.
It should be.
Okay, we'll make it a word.
You understand what I meant, right?
Of course, but
then there you go. I used it to communicate. It works. End of story. Mic drop.
Fluent rah-rah, so other people are not going to be able to understand. I, however,
oh, no,
do.
She's right. That is, I have my own language. Yes.
I mean, listen, my mom also speaks
a weird language that is all her own, so I'm used to deciphering. But let me tell you, lady, you got one that's like just all on its own special. All right. So in
what's
my
the first thing you need to do?
Okay, listen.
Sorry.
In my case, the compatibility was kind of the opposite of yours. I don't need somebody who's poly because I am not poly. I do need somebody who's okay with me playing. And, you know, I know a lot of people would consider that poly, but to us, it's not. We call ourselves monogamish. We've talked about that before.
Emphasis on the ish.
Emphasis on the ish. We are each other's primary partner. I needed somebody who was going to be my primary and who I was going to be his primary. I wasn't going to play where, like, I was just, you know, on the end of things here and you could come at me. I mean, if I didn't have any feelings for this person, yes. But that's not what I was specifically looking for. And when I started my journey in this whole kinky dating thing, I swore up and down I would never date another vanilla.
Liar.
I'll get into that.
Liar.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Who are you talking about?
Somebody say something?
What?
Somebody say
anything? I'm confused as shit right now. Like, I know. Legit.
It's all right.
Okay.
Just keep going. Sorry.
So I needed somebody.
You're hearing voices. It's all good.
Okay. Yeah. I do that a lot anyway. But I didn't think the voices would be heard by other people. That's the problem.
And you think I'm crazy. I at least don't hear voices in my head.
But the voice was you and the... But,
okay. I know what you're talking about. Continue.
Oh, God. So anyway, I needed somebody who specifically matched my wants, my needs, and I went daddy hunting.
Ooh.
So I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Well, this is actually a good segue into how to start this whole process. The first thing you need to do is decide, what do you want? Do you want a kinky partner in crime who's going to spend a part of their life with you? Are you looking for a primary partner who will someday down the road become your spouse? Are you looking, you know, the old, are you looking for Mr. Right? Mr. Right Now?
Are you looking
Mrs.
for
Right? Mrs. Right Now?
Are you looking for a friend with benefits?
Are you just looking for a play date, which may or may not include sex? Because let's face it, when we say play partners, some of us mean play partners, I'm going to do kinky fun with them, but there will be no sex. Some people say play partners and that includes sex. So you need to know all these things. So there are three important questions you need to ask yourself and have the answers to before you even start looking.
May I suggest making a list?
Oh, a list! Yay!
I saw that coming.
She's speaking my love language.
Like I said, I speak fluent rah-rah. I know what to say.
Okay. So the questions are, who am I? What am I looking for? And what do I have to offer?
Exactly. These questions are deceptively simple, though. They have answers that can be unbelievably complex.
You need to know. So, for example, I know I am a poly kinkster.
Yes.
I identify. That's how I identify. A poly kinkster who is into some deep, crazy shit.
I have no words for that one,
right?
Yeah, deep, crazy shit. We'll go with that.
But that's the technical term. Isn't that the technical term?
That is now.
Okay, working with it.
For the what am I looking for part, though, that's where you can get into something even more complicated than you think. Because you got to throw in stuff like, I don't know, age range.
Yeah. I cannot date somebody who does not have the same points of references that I have.
Like me. She could never actually date me because I didn't know who Rock Hudson was.
You are outside my age range.
Yeah.
Because you are under 40.
Okay, but in a couple of years, I will be 40.
But then my age range will change because in a couple of years, I'll be, oh dear fucking God, I'll be 60. I'm sorry. I'm going to go cry now. You just go continue the episode without me.
All right, so I'm going to hand Rara. She's actually laughing. I don't know if you guys can tell. Oh, wait, that's me.
That's you.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't get her references. I don't get her pop culture stuff. So this would never work between us. I'm sorry, Rara, but no. It just won't.
And I have adult children. I need you to be closer to my age than my adult children's age.
I'm legit
age.
Closer to her children's age than I am. I am. Think of your, how old is your oldest son?
Oh my fucking God, you are. Never mind. Get this out of my head.
Rara.
No, I'm not. No, just
Rara.
Go on.
Rara.
What?
We already had sex.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know how young you were.
I feel like I robbed
you
the
did.
Cradle.
You did know how old I was.
The cradle.
Hey, I was over. I was over 30.
Yes. Continue. Just continue. Okay. I have some things I have to work through right now.
She's having an existential crisis at the moment. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, God.
Everybody in Discord is laughing at you listening to this right now.
I know they are. Yeah.
Age range through rah-rah for a loop, because yeah, I don't think she ever actually put that together. You need to think about what you want them to do for you. So like me, for example, I wanted a daddy. I was comfortable in my littleness at that point. It took me a while, but I got there. I wanted a daddy. I had a couple of instances where it was like, okay, you are a daddy. And as rah-rah explained to me, honey, they're a daddy, yes, but they're not your daddy. Mm-hmm. Rara saw this one from a mile away coming straight at me like a train. She tried to get me out of the
way
of the train.
Old age wisdom.
I, on the other hand, did not see it. And it ended up being a little bit fucked up. But it's okay. It worked out in the end. We got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And
out with the old, in with the new.
I say we because there's way more to the story.
It's always a group effort.
It's a huge amount of people that were involved in this. But
just so you know, if you date either one of us, you're dating both of us. Just saying.
Plus probably several other people. We're all involved in each other's business.
It's
like,
just, yeah.
In almost an unhealthy way. But anyway, you need to know what you want, and you need to know exactly, because if this person doesn't fit and you say, oh, it's okay, I'll just, you know, this person has some things in this category and I'll just deal with the other ones. As somebody who has done that, that is called settling.
Don't do that.
It did not work out.
Yeah.
Many times it did not work out.
And you could make your requirements as broad as they need to be kink comfortable.
How about they need to be human?
Well, that's really broad, but
it's a little
overbroad. That's a kink we don't accept. or it could be as narrow as I need a daddy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know, it could be both ends of the spectrum.
And that's why we're saying it can be very complex, because if you don't know, you need to figure it out.
Let's talk about a big one here, because this is, again, I know you're all going to be shocked. Dar and I disagree. I know. It's shocking. We never disagree.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. And this is whether or not you are willing to date vanilla and introduce them to the kink lifestyle, or do you need somebody who's already familiar with kink?
All right. Here we go.
All right. Story time.
This is going to be big.
You start first.
Oh, I was going to let you take that.
Oh, you want me to take it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I personally need somebody who knows about kink and is comfortable with kink. Do they need to be at the level of kink I am? No.
No one is at the level of kink you are. Maybe Simple Beauty.
Yeah.
Who's also, by the way, out of your age range.
Okay, just stop it already. Red. Now you're just being mean.
I'll give you some Cheetos later or some Pirate Booty or something.
Pirate Booty, please. Okay. I like Pirate Booty.
I made it all better with Pirate Booty.
Pirate Booty makes everything better. Booty makes everything better. Chris Evans' booty makes everything better.
Okay, I knew. I was opening my mouth to say it, and you beat me to it. I was like, what about Chris Evans' pirate booty?
It's just,
ooh, Chris Evans in a pirate outfit.
As long as it shows off the booty, I'm good with it.
Should we put him in assless chaps?
Ooh, can he be without a shirt, please? Pretty, please?
Chris Evans in pirate leather pants.
If there's anybody here who listens to this and knows Chris Evans and shares this with Chris Evans, can you let me know?
Please.
I'm dying to know what he thinks of us.
See, I might or be getting on the Chris Evans boat at this point. Yeah. But listen, if he's a pirate, he needs longer hair.
No, I like the short hair.
No.
Gentleman in the streets, beast in the sheets.
I already said this. Give me the damn beast.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Anyway, I need somebody who is going to be very comfortable and okay with the fact that I'm going to be bruised, that I'm going to have scabs, that there are going to be literal holes in my body
that
from needles
so
and staples.
Sexy. Oh, my God.
Sorry, it's not your kink. It's my kink, and that's okay.
Okay.
Right? They need to be comfortable with it. I need them to be comfortable with the fact that I'm going to do impact scenes, needle scenes, staple scenes, rope scenes with other people. But it's not going to be sexual. But are they going to touch my naked body? Yes. It happens. Are they going to touch my boobs? Yes.
And you know what? A lot of people just aren't comfortable with that.
They're not.
So,
and they're allowed. Let me say this again. They are allowed to be uncomfortable with it.
It just means they're not compatible with me.
Yeah, they're just not compatible with the kinks that Rara is requiring.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, were you done?
Well, I'm sure there'll be more, but okay, that's a good stopping point. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
In my case.
Floor's yours.
Okay. I have this
continue.
Theory. Where's my coffee? I'm going to pour some backwash in her cup and see how she feels
ew.
About that. All right. See? See? Don't piss me off, Rara.
I'll drink my coffee. Go ahead.
You going to shut up?
Never. I wouldn't lie to you.
All right, guys. Drink. I see some tears forming. Do you need a tissue?
Tissue? I hardly even know you. Say it's an old fucking Mel Brooks joke, but you're too goddamn young to understand the reference. I hate you.
What the fuck did you even say?
It's from like Young Frankenstein. It's an old
I've seen
movie.
That.
It's all good.
I just don't remember it.
It's okay. Continue. I'm sorry. Not sorry. Go.
You're squeaking. Can we add that to the drinking game when Rara starts squeaking?
Go for it. I'm going to drink right now.
Okay. You're squeaking. I'm not squeaking. Okay.
10 minutes later.
10 years at this point. You have no idea how long we've been paused.
70. No.
Let's finish this.
Okay.
Oh, God, every time. So I have this theory, Rara.
Yes. Okay. I'm ready.
What the
I'm
fuck sitting. Were we talking about?
We're talking about dating vanilla and oh, introducing right. them to people. Okay. I'm ready.
My theory.
Okay. Scientifically, yes.
Sure. You know how I always said that I'm perfectly comfortable taking a vanilla and bringing them over to, let's call it the dark side, right?
Yes.
It's not entirely accurate.
Have you been lying all this time?
Not exactly, but I okay. did some soul searching.
Okay.
And I really, really, I mean, I've legitimately really thought about this.
Okay.
I've done research on this. I've asked questions on this. I've done polls.
Okay.
Okay.
What did you discover?
I went kind of crazy on that. I mean, full on scientist batshit. Okay.
Okay.
They're not actually vanilla.
What are they? Pre-kinky?
They're vanilla with sprinkles.
Oh, I like the vanilla sprinkles.
Yeah. So I don't actually think that you can take a full vanilla, like an actual vanilla person with no kinky proclivities whatsoever, and turn them kinky. I've tried it.
That makes sense. I mean, I know back in my olden days.
Wouldn't your olden days be now?
Yeah, I don't know. Back in the olden days when right. I...
When everything was in black
and
white?
When I was in college having sex, yes, and right. things were black and white. We had three channels and we liked it that way.
No, I meant real life was black and white, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, even back then I was doing a little spanky spanky in the bedroom.
Okay.
And a little submission and letting them be in charge in the bedroom.
Okay, so you had some sprinkles.
So I can see that yes, that we... that there are those of us who we call ourselves vanilla because we don't realize the other world exists.
Or even that you're afraid of the other world still. You're afraid of that label mm-hmm. of the alternative lifestyles.
Right.
Or you just haven't discovered enough about it.
I mean, I tried to bring in bondage into the bedroom long before I became a part of the community.
Right. So you already had some tendencies. Then... you did your thing where you married an actual vanilla person, and that
yes.
was the whole thing was put on hold.
Right.
And then when you were kind of like in the whole process of not being with that vanilla person already, you read a book.
I think I agree with your theory.
And that book triggered your sprinkles again.
Yes.
And then the sprinkles turned into like chocolate sauce.
Oh, yes.
You like my ice cream analogy?
I'm working with it. I'm hungry now.
All right. I, on the other hand, have been raspberry, chocolate, pomegranate, pineapple, coconut, vanilla, swirly since I was like in my teenage years. I have legit, like since I can remember,
mm-hmm.
I did little games when I was a kid. You know, kids do shit and you know, all that other stuff. I did those. I have always, always
had sprinkles.
Had sprinkles.
Gotcha.
When I was 19, chocolate sauce. So, I
whore.
Never... huh?
Nothing.
I was 19.
Whore. Yeah, not...
No, 19.
I know.
It's not like I was 14 or something. Anyway, My point is, I've always been in that direction. And I have actually had the experience where I had a vanilla partner who I thought I could make kinky. Didn't work out so well. That ended up being my sexless marriage with the asexual person who called me being little disgusting.
Yeah.
That was that one. I'm still friends with the guy. Like, he's not a bad person. He was just a really bad partner.
He was just not right for you.
He's definitely not right for me. Now, the people that I've said that I've kind of brought over to the dark side where it actually worked, they already had like a toe on the line. They had a couple of sprinkles in there.
Did they recognize the sprinkles or did they just know they felt that way?
They knew that they had those feelings. They knew that they had some fetishes that would be considered
different.
Different, not exactly in the whole, you know, this is, you know, walking the straight line of, you know, whatever we've always been taught. They deviate a little bit.
Okay.
So I come in and I'm like, so what are your fantasies? And I'm not judging them. And I listen to the fantasies and I go, ooh, that's a cool one. I can work with that. And I can tell you my husband right now, that was like on our second date, the third maybe, I asked him what his fantasies are and he told me one that he was almost ashamed of. He had been ashamed of it. Never ever once acted on it, but had this fantasy forever. And I looked at him and I said, I've done that before. And now it's a main thing that we do. It's a legit fetish. I use it all the time.
So let me ask you this, because I agree with your theory, actually. I know that you guys met through OkCupid.
Yes.
Right? Did you have anywhere listed in your profile about kink?
Yes.
And what did you have listed?
It wasn't blatant. It was actually pretty subtle. What I wanted to find was somebody who basically knew the keywords and was still interested. So I wrote, I'm looking for a man who is comfortable being dominated or comfortable being with a dominant woman, a dominant profile. So I had the dom stuff in there.
Okay.
But
that could go either way. I mean, somebody could be dominant in their personality and be vanilla.
Yes, but there were some other things that I said. Sure. I wish I still had my profile thing. I was dropping hints kind of like that. So if you knew how to read between the lines, if you were already in the lifestyle, you would have seen that and been like, okay, that.
Yeah, I've seen many hints that people have put in their profile. When I started my OkCupid profile, I had hints. At the time, this was before, when I first set it up, I was not switching it. I was just a submissive. And I said something, if you're interested in an extroverted, submissive woman, mm-hmm. I found that people didn't understand.
Yeah.
So then I moved it up and I said something like, if whips and chains excite you.
Clever.
Still, people were still not getting it.
Okay.
To the point that now my profile says, if BDSM isn't your thing, we will not suit.
Wow. That is not subtle.
I'm usually not subtle to begin with. But
I started out being subtle and it worked. I got some hits. I got some, you know, people I was talking to. In fact, I think that one guy that was that OkCupid or was that something? I don't remember. The one that was, we kicked him out. It was all three of us and we were just like, no, get out of here, dude. At that point, as soon as somebody messaged me and we started talking, I would say, hey, look, I'm into BDSM. This is what I do. If you're not interested, go away. So at that point, I would wait until messaging and chatting, but it never went further than that. Like, I wouldn't let it go for a couple of weeks or whatever it was and not tell them yet. I was extremely upfront. The reason it worked on my current husband is because I told him that and he went, oh, yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that works, but I'm interested. Will you please, you know, tell me about it more? And he kept asking more questions. That right there, big green flag for me.
For you. Now, we've talked about this off mic, but let's talk about it now because I think this will also work for people since it just gives two different viewpoints. You were willing to teach him.
Train him, teach him, yeah.
Right? I'm not.
Okay, but back to my theory, I knew that he already had a few sprinkles. He wasn't completely vanilla. I'm willing to teach somebody who has those sprinkles, who has those tendencies.
And for me, I don't think that's enough. They don't need to be extreme like I am.
You don't need a banana split?
I don't need a banana split, but I need a banana.
But they, in Rara's
case, not a scoop of ice cream. I need the banana.
Okay. So in your case, they already have to have chocolate sauce.
Yes, they do. And that's because, and I have not done this deep soul searching you have, but I think a lot of that is related to the fact that because I am a little more on the extreme side, I would find that somebody who is not comfortable, or I should say, who's not acclimated to the lifestyle might be a little put off by my extremeness.
Well, it's also the fact that when you have somebody who's relatively new, let's put it that way, a toe dipper, shall we say, somebody who's just beginning, who's just on the cusp of learning, for you and the way you play, that would be going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that, you know, I'm not saying that being that new is a bad thing, but for Rara's level, it would legit be going backwards. She would have to spend more time teaching and doing the smaller things, the gentle things. And that's just not who she is.
It isn't. And I tried dating. I met a guy, dated him for about 3 months, who he identified as kinky. He knew the terminology. He did everything. But his level was more, for lack of a better way to describe it, beginner stage.
Yes.
Right? We had discussions. There were things that I did he was uncomfortable with. The blood play made him very uncomfortable. What the hell am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to give up that part of me?
You can't.
I can't.
That would be at this point like me giving up the little, which is what I tried to do for that one husband. I will never, ever give up a part of me like that again. If the current husband hadn't been interested in learning how to be a daddy, and it turned out he did have the daddy fetish, and miracle of miracles, it turned out he's perfect for me. I didn't know that when I first started dating
him. You never do. Yeah.
But I was willing to teach him. I was willing to bring him there. In fact, I trained him myself. But I could not have done that if he wasn't already kind of there on the cusp of it. Yeah.
This week's episode is sponsored by an incredibly talented photographer, Jay Yee. Jay offers a wide variety of vanilla photo shoots such as headshots, conventions, weddings, family photos, dating profile photos, proposals, and more. Rara and I have known Jay for years, and when his clients have given permission, we've been able to see some of his photos, and wow, we are amazed at how he is able to capture a moment in time that shows the joy and beauty of the people in the photo. I remember seeing some maternity shots that he did, and the mother was glowing. I can only imagine how it will feel to look back on those photos years from now and remember the excitement she felt that was so clearly captured in the photos. But what's so cool about Jay is he is a kinkster himself, so he also offers amazing kink photos. He can do solo shoots, such as boudoir photos, or couple shoots, like a collaring ceremony. Maybe you want professional shots of your scenes, like rope suspension. If you have an idea, Jay can probably make it happen. He works throughout the Maryland, Virginia, and DC areas, but he's also willing to travel to some parts of West Virginia. You can reach out to Jay to discuss your photo needs either through his website at www.jyeephoto.com. That's JYIPHOTO.com, or even through FetLife. His handle is ISO800. And if you visit his website, which we will list in the show notes, you can see some of his beautiful work. So if you need someone to help you capture those once-in-a-lifetime moments, check out jyephoto.com.
But neither one of us is right or wrong. We discovered what works for us, and this is why you need that introspection. This is why you need to know who you are, what you will and will not accept, what you are and are not comfortable with. Because otherwise, it's not fair to you. It's not fair to the other person.
Yeah, in Rara's case, that would absolutely not have been fair to either one of them. I'm not as extreme as Rara. I don't know if you can call it lighter, because electro play isn't exactly light.
It's just a lot of it too. And I'm also curious, this is also because you do the psychological versus the physical. So yeah. It's not like he had to get used to seeing somebody hit you to the point of blood. Think about that. So let's say I'm involved with, and I will, my preference is men. I identify as heteroflexible. because in the right circumstances with the right people, things could happen.
Hello.
Right? But I mostly identify and prefer men. And the reason I'm saying this is because the terminology that I'm going to use, I want everybody to understand. I'm not trying to be exclusive.
Weren't you told recently that heteroflexible is not a thing?
Yeah, it's my daughter. I don't pay any attention to what she says. Okay, picture. So I start dating a guy and I bring him to one of my events. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to sit and watch Simple Beauty or somebody else hit me with spike paddles to the point that my ass is covered in blood.
Which I won't watch.
Right. He cares about me. He loves me. And he's looking at that thinking, wow, that's terrible. That's awful. She's hurt. She's bleeding. That's going to be difficult for him to accept if he's not really into the lifestyle.
Right.
And it's really unfair of me to expect him to be okay with it.
And again, I'm going to bring up the whole daddy little thing. I was told that my little was disgusting. That psychologically scarred me. So I purposely needed somebody who could be my daddy, who was not going to be turned off by that because it is such a huge part of me. Blood play, needle play, paddles, all that stuff is a huge part of rah-rah. She cannot.
I cannot and I will not give it up.
Exactly. For me, I will not give up electro play. I will not give up little. I did, however, give up one thing.
What did you give up?
Anal play.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's not into it.
Okay.
So.
That's what the subs are for.
Well, yeah, exactly. So this is where the monogamish part comes in. I can have play partners that I can do pegging with or whatever the hell else because he's not into it.
But it's also all on a scale. Like what? And this is why. Make a list, people. You know how I feel about lists.
Oh, and color code it, please. She'll be very happy.
Make a list. Here are the things that I want and then rank them. So that one through, you've got 10 things listed. 1 through 5 are absolutes. You cannot live without those. Those are requirements. But maybe number 9 and 10, you might say, I'd love to have those. If I don't, it's okay.
I can live without it.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly capable of living without pegging somebody. It's not as much of a core part of who I am. The fact that he's cool with the monogamish part and he participates with other people too, that's why. That's why we're able to make this work. Because I do have opportunities to go out and do these things that I don't with him because we're both cool with us playing with other people.
Yeah. And my statement up front of if BDSM is not your thing, we will not suit has also served to help me weed people out. Because the people who respond to me saying, oh, I'm aware of BDSM, I know it, I'm into it. But it's obvious from what they're saying that to them, it's all about the sex. Mm-hmm. That tells me again, that is somebody who has such a different viewpoint of what BDSM is. We're not going to suit each other.
Yeah.
So in my case, yes. Have I completely, totally narrowed the field down? Yes.
Yes.
And I accept that and I'm okay with that. Been married, bought the t-shirt twice. Paid a fortune in legal fees to give the t-shirt back. I'm okay with that. I have my male partner. He's very good to me.
He loves hearing that.
Yeah, I know he does. That's what I'm going to say. It makes him happy. I have my kink partners that are non-sexual. I have most of what I need in my life, and I'm really okay with it.
Yeah, and at this point, so this is why people think that I took a vanilla person and made them, and this is kind of what I'm somewhat known for in our community. Like people
ask me. Your newbie fetish?
My newbie fetish. Besides doing the electro stuff, it's all about the newbie fetish. And people constantly
She literally
ask
walks
me,
up to people at Munches and go, hi, you're new. I'm Dara.
Yeah.
If I didn't know her better, I'd probably have to ban her from the Munches because it can be a little creepy. But I know it's all good. And it's safe.
And all the other people are like, here she goes again. Yeah. I'll walk up to I don't know you. Hi. Can I sit with you? I think I literally sat at a table at your last Munch with these two guys, both of which I had no idea who they were. Daddy J was on the other side of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking to these two guys. Hey, what's your fetishes? What you into? What you
doing? Well, I am like, hi, I don't know you. We're going to be friends. So just tell me your name now so I know what to call you.
No, I know. I want to know what their fetishes are. Okay. So I don't, like I said, I don't take a vanilla person and turn them kinky. I take the person who already was kind of there and I guide them. I teach them. I expose them to new things.
They already started the path. You lead them the rest of the way.
I kind
of
shove them.
Yeah.
But
a little bit.
A little. Is it more like a little push?
Or gentle you're not, you're guidance not going, this way.
Here you go, buddy. Here you go. Nice pat on the butt there. Good job. So what I did with Daddy Jay is I taught him what it means to be a daddy. Now, I can do that because I have been on the caregiver side. I had my own little. So I have experience in that. I was comfortable. And I knew what I wanted my daddy to be. So we discussed a lot. We had massive conversations, very detailed conversations for like 3 or 4 months. A lot of this was kink training in the first few months of us dating. Our third date, I brought my entire collection, my entire duffel bag over. It was only a duffel bag at the time. I dropped it on his floor and I said, here's my kit. Go through it and tell me if any of this freaks you out, because if it does, I'm gone. And we just went from there. And so I taught him how to be my daddy that I needed.
Right. Because he had the characteristics he needed.
He was very nurturing. He was very caring. He already had the thing where I think one of our dates, this is the one where I keep saying this is where I fell in love with him. He took me to an aquarium.
Aww.
He took a little to see the fishies.
Aww.
Right? It's dark. He constantly was guiding me with a hand on my back, holding my hand. He wouldn't let me out of his sight. He would kind of push his way forward and put me in front of him so that I could see.
All the things the daddy does.
All the things the daddy does. He made me feel small. And this is not like he...
In a good way. In a good way.
It was the good way. It made me feel like a smaller version of myself, but not mentally small. It made me feel physically small, like he was taking care of me. Right. And that is 100% what I wanted.
And that's it. How do I turn somebody into a sadist for me? I can't. They either are a sadist or they are not a sadist.
Yeah, you have to sometimes unlock that in them. But for you, again, you need somebody who's already pretty damn comfortable with it.
Right. And the other problem too for me, and I say this about myself with all the self-knowledge in the world, I am a take charge, kick ass woman. If you want to try to be more take charge, kick ass than me, you're going to have to work on it.
Good luck. Also, you can't really make Rara feel any smaller than she actually is.
That doesn't work for me.
But it's not what she wants. It's what I want. We had different things we're going for here.
Yeah. I mean, I want, and it goes. Here's the funny thing, and this is the other thing too. It changes week to week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I want a daddy because I need, and I need a daddy who's going to take care of me. I need a daddy who's going to get my car inspected. Because I admit that I'm really bad about remembering that. I need a daddy who's going to say, you haven't eaten and a cereal bar is not an acceptable meal.
See, here's, I do that to my daddy.
Here's food. I need somebody who'll be like, honey, it's 1:30 a.m. and you have work tomorrow. You need to get your ass into bed.
You need a butler.
Oh, I need a maid. Maybe I need a wife. Is what I really need.
My mother used to say that growing up. She needed a wife. That's such a derogatory, sexist 1950s thing to say. But
yeah, well, I'm closer to 1950s than you are. So there you go.
Also accurate. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
But you were thinking it. I know. So it just tends. And then now sometimes I don't want that. Like, as I say to my friends that I talk to, I'm at a point in time in my life with everything that I'm doing that if some guy thinks he's going to come in and tell me what I can and cannot do, oh yeah, it's not going to end well for him.
Do you want to know the one thing that I will fight daddy on?
What?
Because
what?
When he... So okay. This is
we won't tell anybody else. Just sure. A secret, just between the
this
two of us.
This is the one thing that I will constantly fight him on, because to me, it depends on how he says it, I think, is the problem. The first time he says it, he's saying it like he's my husband. I mean, he is my husband, but he says it as the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm not going to do that because my husband told me to.
Right.
Fuck that. When he tells me in daddy, then I'm like, okay, daddy, I'll do it right now.
And it is?
Exercising.
Fuck that bitch. No.
Yeah, but daddy can tell me that.
Yeah.
So the other day, I kept saying I was going to go ride my bike. And husband was telling me, did you bike yet? No. I'm busy. Did you bike yet? You told me you were going to bike today. No, I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. I'm watching Outlander. Shut up. Or Cinderella or whatever the hell it was. And then he says, later, he was kind of quiet. And I was like, what's wrong? And he goes, I don't know. I was like, can you tell me, please? And he goes, I mean, you promised Daddy you were going to bike today and you didn't. I was like, fuck. And I immediately went and rode my bike.
See, and here's the funny thing. I'm at a point right now that even whether he was coming at as my husband or my daddy and said, you need to ride your bike, I'd be like, fuck you and the bike you rode in on. Because it's just not happening. But now if he comes up to me and says, honey, you haven't eaten. A cereal bar isn't food. I've cooked you something. Here it is. Now we're talking my style.
Oh, now you got to eat it.
Now, but it's in front of me and I didn't have to stop doing my research on the podcast. I didn't have to stop making my fun little graphics. It was done and it was handed to me. That's why I say a daddy versus a daddy dom.
Okay.
And that is very distinct. And for those of you, if you know, you know. It's different.
If you listen to our episode on labels, you will understand how different we can make things right? be.
But yeah, it's just... And that could change. Check back with me in another week or two.
Yeah.
And it may change. It just depends. I've just got too much shit going on in my life that I'm in charge of. And I'm really, for the most part, loving my life. If we could just get past the stupid pandemic so I could start really
having a life again, that'd be great.
Hosting parties again and going out with my friends again. But I'm not at a point where I want somebody to be in charge of me.
I need somebody to be in charge of me because I have one main job and, I don't know, 2-3 side hustles at this point. So I'm constantly working on those. And he keeps me grounded and he keeps me like, okay, did you do this? Where's your list? Go work on your list. I'm like, okay. All right. So I really want to talk really quick about, we talked about OKCupid.
Right.
And that's how I found my husband. That's how I found a couple of other people.
And OKCupid they have both a free service. You can pay for a premium service. It's very popular amongst those who are polyamorous because you can list poly as an option right there on it. And if you and your poly partner have an account, you can literally link the accounts together.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can click. I could list my poly partner on my account so they can click on that and go to it. And therefore, you know, I'm not cheating. I'm not pretending I'm poly when I'm really cheating.
Right.
We're open and available and there it is.
And there's the communication right there. So what about FetLife?
Wrong answer. FetLife.
Why, Rara? Didn't you find partners on FetLife?
And we see how well that worked out, folks. FetLife is not a dating app.
Nope.
Does that mean you're not going to find a partner on there? Of course not. You could find a partner standing in line at the grocery store, and that's not a dating app either. Or date night at the grocery store.
I found a potential partner on an airplane once.
See, there you go. It's just not meant for dating. You, of course, can see somebody you're attracted to, write them a message, hopefully respectfully, get a conversation going, decide to meet, fall in love, get married, and create little kinksters and live happily ever after.
Okay, that was a long, long story in a short amount of time.
But that's really not what it's intended for.
We had an entire episode on FET. Just go listen to that.
While OKCupid is obviously a dating site.
Designed for dating. So there's other places. There's BDSM.com.
Right, which also has a free and premium service.
Like they all do.
It's got a huge member base, like 900,000 plus members.
Jesus, so you're going to have a really interesting time sorting through all of that. Good luck. Do they have like preference settings?
They do.
Okay.
But obviously, there's going to be some features that are only available if you're paying. As with many things, the free service only gets you so much. We also have something called alt.com, ALT.com. And it offers photo trading, fetish dating, swingers, and couples. And you even have the ability to have cameras and switch, have like photo chatting, whatever. You can join it for free and you can start looking around and find people who are into the same things you are. They're very specific on alt.com.
There's fetish.com, which they say is more than a website.
Oh, yes.
It is a portal.
Can you tell I stole their PR stuff? Yes.
Yeah. It is a portal to the greater BDSM community.
Ooh.
A portal, rah-rah. I like it.
You like it? Okay.
All right. So their primary feature is offering maps to local munches, which is a great, great, phenomenal place to meet potential kingster partners.
Yeah. Membership is free. And they've got forums and chat rooms. And they kind of offer a combination of dating and matching with just a community of kingsters.
That actually is probably my favorite
one. And honestly, that's sort of the best way to find somebody is just not even looking for them per se, just happen to run into them.
Unless you're like me and went daddy hunting. I mean, hunting, rah-rah.
I know.
You know how long I was there. Doing that.
I was there for the entire hunt.
Yes, you were. And I was like, all right. Lock and load, people. Lock and load. Nope. And then Robert goes, that's a bad fish. Throw it back.
Look, I swipe left like 95% of the time. So Robert can't really go by me.
Left on my husband.
Okay. The joke, which you fell in love with him for, I would have been like, you're out.
Yeah, but you almost swiped left on his picture.
We have different tastes, hence Chris Evans versus
Jason
Thor.
Momoa.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she took one look at this guy's picture and was like, eh? I'm like, I think he's kind of cute.
I am. Some people might say, and I would be okay with this description, that I'm very picky.
Snobby.
I'm just a visual person.
Right.
It's, you know, you could have, it doesn't matter how you look. If you speak with a Scottish accent, this one here is going to get wet and open her legs for you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? Well, for me, it's all about the looks. I've had men where I've said, can you just shut up, stand there, and look pretty? Because if you open up your mouth, you're going to ruin all of the good that's been done by these looks. I'm sorry. It's just the reality for me.
And for me, once they open their mouth and they say something stupid, they are no longer pretty.
Well, that's the problem. As I tell people, it's not that I am a sapiosexual as much as stupidity is a turnoff.
I wouldn't say I'm completely a sapiosexual, but that does more for me than the looks, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not that my husband isn't hot. I mean, he's actually a good looking dude. He's just not rah-rah's type because he's not like buffed up muscles. And if he was, I wouldn't be into it.
This is my type for fucking. I'm going to make this very clear. This is my type for fucking. For friendship, that's a whole different story. That's about who you are on the inside. Your personality, your morals, your ethics, all of that is way, way more important to me than looks.
And for me, but
if I'm going to fuck you, you need to be pretty.
See, and for me, it's kind of those are together. Yeah. I'm not going to fuck you just based on looks.
I will.
Well, thank you.
Sorry. I have. I should say I have.
And I don't think
but
I ever
remember,
have.
I go to swinger parties.
Yeah, that's true. Completely different mindset on that. Anyway, back to the different places right. that you can find a kinky partner.
Let's go to the next one. Adult Friend Finder.
That sounds fun.
It is. Now, it is advertised as a sex and swinger community.
So more you than me. Got it.
Right. They claim. Mm-hmm. By the way, just so we're just telling you names. We have not used all of these. We cannot speak to all of these. So these claims, like it offers the largest fetish community, that's their claim.
I have legit used two that are on this list and one that is not on this
list.
Yes,
I forgot to add it. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Oh, thank God. So they claim they have the largest fetish community and they let you search for an endless number of sexual niches.
Okay, now I kind of want to try it just to see what they've got.
Well, I might just because I'm curious, but we'll see. I don't even know when I'd have time in my life to take on another partner right now.
All right. So anybody else who wants to try all of these and tell us how they compare and make like a ranked list.
If you've used them and have knowledge of them, inquiring minds want to know.
Definitely.
Right. Adult Friend Finder has a very high membership fee though is the problem. So maybe we won't try it, but they've got social media features so you can post all about your different kinks and experiences.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you even pronounce this one?
I've actually been on this one, Whippler.
That's how you pronounce it?
Yep.
There's no E-R. There's no E.
Think outside the box.
Be an octopus. Got it.
Yep. Whippler. I've actually tried Whippler. I had about as much success as I've had on anything else.
Poor thing.
No, I'm very, I am very picky. Yeah. Admit it freely. I am very, very picky.
I will also freely admit I lucked out like a son of a bitch with this one.
We're also, again, because I am so much fucking older than you, we are also very different stages in our life. Like, I'm not looking for a husband.
I was looking for a spouse.
I'm not looking for somebody to create a family with.
And I am.
Right? I have my kids. I have my blood family.
You also have a big chosen family.
I have a super huge chosen family. I mean, I recently had to have some surgery for my lovely kidney issues again. And I posted in the group, is there anybody who could drive me to the hospital? And more than one person offered to help me with that. Yeah. So I have the beautiful chosen family who I love and adore. So my needs are companionship and sex, really. I mean, let's be honest, because I don't fuck my friends. Right. I could.
You
don't
did.
Get me wrong. I could if I wanted to. The offer has been given.
Hi.
Exactly. You're just one example.
Oh, hey. Slut.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And yeah. So what Rara is trying to say is I am at a completely different stage. I wanted a spouse. Third time's a charm, right?
Yeah.
I want my family that I don't have yet. So that is what I was looking for. I was looking for the future spouse who could also be a daddy, who was also into electro, who was also, yeah, list went on.
Yeah, and I'm really becoming the crotchety old lady who doesn't want to share. Like, the bed's mine. I don't want to share it. I adore Diesel. But when that man comes over and sleeps over, he takes a 3/4 of the fucking goddamn bed and I'm on the edge.
Yeah.
But I don't worry.
Humongous.
I get back at him because I take the blankets with me. I will admit freely, he may be the bed hog, but I am the blanket hog.
And he knows it really quickly.
And the
too.
Poor guy. And then he's with the postmenopausal woman who's got the hot flashes. So I keep my room at Arctic temperature.
Oh man.
And he's so fucking built, he's got like no body fat on him. So he's freezing.
Sorry, not sorry, dude.
It's an adventure and a half. But so I'm really at a point where it's like, I don't want to give up half my closet. I don't want to give up half my bed. I like doing things my way, how I want them. My kitchen's set up the way I want it. My house is decorated in pink. Yes, deal with it.
Okay, look, my kitchen is set up the way I want it.
You know?
And every time that man moves something, I'm like, dude! Also, the bed thing.
Yeah.
Not only do I share it with a husband, we have a king-size bed, right?
Right.
I share it with the husband and now the dog.
Yeah, that's a problem.
The dog
takes up the most
room. And she ain't that big.
Dogs do that.
She is either on top of us or pushing right next to us or sprawled out in between us, touching both sides. I mean, I swear to God. I can't.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your husband's fault because he's the one who left the dog in the bed.
He's the one who let her in there. I told him not to, but he had to sleep with the baby girl. So, yeah.
But my point being is I am not, I'm okay if I never have more than what I have now.
Yeah.
So I can afford to be extremely picky.
And I want
to. If you don't check off pretty much almost every single box, it's not going to happen. But let's talk about Whippler. So Whippler is relatively new. It has about 1.2 million members. It's got 600,000 photos. 50,000 chats and video calls. They have a variety of fetishes, including newcomers.
Oh, hey.
Like, I know.
Did you just say newcomers?
Maybe.
Is this like
coochcumbers? Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Cuckolders, masters, slaves, all of that. They apparently even all sponsor fetish meetups around the world.
Oh, cool.
I tried it for a while. As with just about everything else I've tried, I did not have a lot of luck. Here's my little words of advice to the men that are listening to us, the male identifying folks who listen to us. And I'm calling you out because this seems to be who does it most of the time. The non-binaries and the females seem to be much smarter than this. So they don't do that shit. Do not lead with sex in your dick. Let that not be the first thing that you go with. Just because I'm kinky does not mean you can lead with your sex, with your sex, I guess. Yes, your dick and sex. Sorry. I'm getting a little verklempt and it just messed my speech up.
She's so worked up right now. I feel like I should duck. She's going to start throwing shit.
Going to whip a dildo around.
Woo! Well, that's just fun.
I know. So, yes. So that was my problem with Whippler, is that the majority of messages I got, they led with sex and their dicks.
So basically what you're saying is, if you're on Whippler, don't whip it out.
Exactly. Thank you. That's all I'm saying. All
right. So what about Kink D?
That is a new one to me. I have not tried it yet.
Okay, so if you have tried it, please give us some more info. Apparently, it's an app that matches together kinksters and BDSM users while also offering a social network for all its users. I feel like I'm doing a commercial for
them
right now.
There you go. Okay. Well, which one? Again, we're not, because we can only speak to those things we've been on.
Yeah, this is us right now just plugging what they say on their own thing. You all do your own research.
Okay, they say you can join, post on your walls, chat, view stories, meet up.
So Facebook.
It's for singles, couples, swingers, whatever. Okay. All right. So there's also Kinku, which is new. Only started 2017.
Kinku-ka-choo.
I know. They claim they also offer education.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm probably going to have to check it out because I'm curious about something that claims to offer education. We've got Fester.
That does not sound cool.
Yeah. Well, I think it's supposed to be like a thing between like Fet Life and Kinkster.
Okay.
So
all that makes me think of is like Festering Wound or Uncle Fester.
Oh, see, I was going straight to Uncle Fester.
Neither one of those is sexy.
No. But if you're into Uncle Fester, we are not judging you.
I might be a little bit.
All right, she's judging you. This one is free. They claim that they're both a social network and a meetup group. They've got the extreme. This is my personal favorite,
what
right?
What the hell?
Okay, this is my personal.
I'm looking at your notes right now, and I'm like, okay, go ahead.
They claim, this is their words, not mine, extreme fetishes.
Okay.
You want to list them? Because this cracked me up.
What? Cuckolds, CBT, pegging?
Yes, those are. Well, if you had something up your ass, you might think it was extreme too.
Master slave, rope play, suspension.
Deprecating.
That
humiliation play.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm okay. Caging
and spanking.
Spanking is extreme.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all, vanilla with sprinkles, people.
I know. Oh, I'm going to let you speak on this next one because I bet you have stories with this one.
I don't even know what we're talking about right now.
Oh, personals on Reddit.
Okay. Before we get to that, Vanilla Umbrella. I don't even know if it's still active.
Oh, yeah, I did try that for a little bit, but had the same experience as I did with Whippler.
Well, that's where I met Super Tall Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Horsecock.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Remember Horsecock, yes.
Yeah, that was Super Tall Guy, Horsecock, same guy.
See, you have much better luck than I do finding these guys on there.
Well, I mean, it didn't work out all that well in the end, but we both knew that we were just kink partners, mm-hmm. and we weren't going anywhere, so that I wasn't that heartbroken. But it was a good solid 4 months of pure kink. It was great. I have fond memories of that. So, BDSM personals on Reddit. Interesting place. I did actually meet up with somebody on there. It didn't go any further than the meetup. We both realized that we're not in
compatible.
The same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, though. The actual space on Reddit. I mean, you can talk to people on Reddit. You can post stuff. Not all of Reddit is a hookup space. I'm going to just say that right now. But you can meet some very interesting people on Reddit. And if you put in, you know, stuff on personals, you can put in exactly what you want and exactly what you offer. And you remember those three things that we talked about in the beginning about who you are, what you want, and what you bring to the table?
Yep.
Put all that in there.
So you can help narrow down the field.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But honestly, in my opinion, the best place to meet kinky people
is Munches.
Munches, classes, events.
But let me add this caveat. If you are going for the sole purpose of meeting a romantic partner, don't.
No.
If you are going to meet people.
And you happen to
absolutely
find.
Absolutely, do that. And if you happen to find, I mean, look, I like to think my Munch is responsible for at least one coupling that I know of.
Oh, they think that your Munch is responsible for them too.
Yeah, they met at my Munch.
They met at your Munch.
So
they were there to have fun. I mean, the girl is actually part of our friend group and she has been for a really long time. She was at the Munch just to like be at a Munch. I don't think I ever asked the guy why he was there.
Just to meet other Kingsters.
Just meet other Kingsters, I guess, and just be at a munch and have fun. And they met there. They just happened to sit at the same table.
Yeah. Because first of all, when you meet at those kind of things like your classes, events, and munches, you already know the person you're talking to is kinky.
Yep.
So there you go. First check mark. But that's really the best thing. Now, let's quickly cover something because I think this is important. And again, Dar and I have different answers to this one. When in the process do you tell somebody that you are kinky? I tell them from the get-go. I just do because I don't have time to waste. I'm kinky. If that's an issue for you, bye-bye.
Okay. What part of my story made you think that I wait?
Well, but you were more subtle about it versus...
I am more subtle, but as soon as we start talking is when I say, yeah, I'm kinky. And if you can't handle that, get out. And then for me, I guess it's in steps. So it's not a flat out, I'm telling you right here, right now, this is what it is. Get out if you're not into it. Mm-hmm. I kind of bring it to the table more slowly. So like third, I talked to my current husband. I talked to Daddy Jay for a couple weeks. We went out on a date. We had fun. We chatted. We were at a bar. I discussed kinks. I didn't show him everything. Third date is when I brought my duffel bag over and I was like, boom.
Yeah, see, I think if I start discussing kinks on the first date, I will watch them run screaming in the other direction.
And again, it's because we're in different places. Mm-hmm. We're looking for different things. Kink is definitely a big part of it, but I was looking for a kink partner, not a spouse. I already had a spouse, but that was on its way down the toilet.
Yeah.
So it's complicated. In my case, it was weirdly complicated.
So let's say now you've met somebody and you are going out on a date with them. All right. Do not spend the entire time talking about kink.
No, because it actually get boring.
As much as I could. That doesn't mean it's right. You need to be aware of a couple things. Number one, look at your area. You're out, let's say, at a restaurant. Look around you. Maybe that's not the time or place to really be discussing kinks because other people can hear you.
Unless your date is at
a munch.
Well, and even then, you got to kind of be careful.
Yeah. Plus, the other person may not feel comfortable talking publicly about kink like that. And so you got to play it. You got to play the whole thing by ear and be careful.
I think I dropped the bomb on Daddy Jay and asked him specifically what his fetishes were when we were in the car driving somewhere. I don't remember. I think we were actually on our way to the aquarium. So this is a long drive.
Yeah, but it's just the two of you.
Right.
You don't have to worry about the vanillas overhearing the conversation.
Yes. And even then, he was embarrassed to bring it up. And I was like,
because he's so fucking cute like that.
But as soon as I said, oh, yeah, I can work with that, he went, really? I was like, yeah, honey, I don't think you're as vanilla as you always thought you were.
You know, make sure you are acting appropriately. So let's say you identify in the little category and you're going out on a date with somebody who may or may not be a caregiver. At least you are, let's say, looking into the possibility of them being your caregiver. That doesn't mean you should be out at the restaurant acting your happy little self.
No. I've done that. That can be dangerous.
Well, and you don't want to come across as too needy or creepy.
Yeah, and I can see that too. It's one of those kinks that, as awesome as it is, you still need to be careful with it.
Exactly. All right. So, in final notes, if you are dating kinky, be safe. Don't immediately plan scenes with somebody until you get a chance to know them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that they were going over to so-and-so's house and they were doing a scene.
Okay. So, here's the thing.
Yeah?
You know how we always have that plan where we give each other the name, the number, the place where we're going to be at? All this
safe
information.
Call, yes.
The safe call. I, on my way to meet Daddy Jay for the first time, I gave all this information to a friend of mine. We were really tight. She's not really around anymore. She quit the scene. But at the time, I gave her all this information and I said, look, if you haven't heard from me in an hour that I'm safe and I'm here and it's good, call the cops. He's turned my bones into wind chimes. Within an hour, she texted me and I was like, shit, I completely forgot because I was having such a good time. I forgot. She knew her job, though. She checked on me.
And she did the right thing.
She did.
I can't tell you how many times I hear from people. I'm meeting up with this guy that
I met on FetLife, because this is where it seems to happen a lot or whatever, and I'm going over to his house and we're playing together. It's like, I'm sorry, what the fuck?
Yeah, no.
Don't do that.
Please don't do that. Please be safe. Like, use common sense.
Meet publicly. Munches are a great place to meet up. I often tell a lot of people, meet me at the munch, because one, I can see them interact with other people. I can see them, if they're talking kink to other people, I get an idea. Are they really as knowledgeable about kink as they claim to be? Plus this way too, if somebody, maybe somebody knows them.
Yeah.
And can give me a reference or a warning.
Or even not even at a munch. You can also go to the big events, the play parties. You can go to 101 nights. There's lots of different options. Don't go to their house on the first date. Too many crickets.
Please, please, please don't. So to sum it all up, if you are kinky and dating, whether it's looking for friends with benefits, whether it's looking for a play partner, whether it's looking for a life partner, know who you are and what you want, because it will make everything easier.
Thank you for hanging out with us today. If you have a question you would like answered, or just have a story about the lifestyle you want to share, you can send us a voicemail, and maybe it will be shared in a future episode. Just go to pinkkinkpodcast.com to contact us.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and FetLife at the handle Pink Kink Podcast. Join our Facebook group, Pink Kink Podcast, and hang out with other pink kinksters.
If you love what we do and are able to help support us, we are on Patreon. Just look for us on patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast.
Even if you can't show your support financially, there are other ways you can help. You can spread the word about our kinky podcast and tell your friends about us. You can also rate and review Pink Kink on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The 5-star reviews really help.
Don't forget to subscribe to Pink Kink so you don't miss a minute of the fun. New episodes come out every Friday.
So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.